have been on some of your fridges. You know, the little missionary cards, right? And maybe if you look back, you haven't thrown them out, you might find Stuart Swanson in one of those pictures. So I may have grown up on your fridge. And that just makes me feel special. Just kidding. So around 25 years ago or so, we moved back from the mission field, my family, and I was 11 years old, and I've been in Calgary ever since. And as I kind of looked back, and as I was kind of going over this message and what to say, boy, have things changed over the last 25 years, haven't they? Like, you just think where we were, like, there was no internet. Could you imagine a world without the internet? I mean, there was no... You can. Can some of you, you know, you're still on dial-up, maybe. And it's a reality. It's you don't have internet. I'm just kidding. And some of the changes are for the good, and a lot are for the bad. Do you guys agree? Yeah, it's just a scary world. I mean, some of the good things are just, like... I mean, you guys had a drummer, and there was no drummer up here. Now that is, I've never seen that before. That was cool. I mean, the technology to be able to, like, you know, you don't need to do a tour of missions anymore. You can do a live stream to see what missionaries are doing across the world, which is just so cool. I mean, just how the world has changed for the good. I mean, it's exciting. And yet, this world has also become more aware of how dark, how lonely, how evil, how godless these times can seem. And you just start to wonder, you go, how are things going to turn? How is God going to fix this? Because, I mean, we're in trouble. I mean, you don't have to look very far. You know, here's just an example. We think that slavery is a thing of the past. There are more slaves in slavery right now than have been in history ever. Like, that's crazy. I mean, it's dark times. I mean, our politicians are more famous for their shirts being off or the stupid things that they say or whatever than for the quality of individuals that they are. I mean, it's dark times. I mean, you just watch the news, and it's just enough to put you into a dark depression, get onto Prozac. I mean, it is just terrible stuff going on. And you sit and you start to reflect and you start to think, and the war between good and evil, the war between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of this world it's a real battle. It's in our lives, it's in our children's lives, it's in our schools, it is pervasive and it's everywhere. So what do we do? Well, the thing we should always do is go to the scriptures, and that's where we're going to go. We're going to go to Matthew 5, 13 to 16, if you want to put it up. Oh, perfect. I love it. Well, let's pray. Kind, good Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together. As Christians, like-minded, wanting to see your kingdom come. Waiting and longing for you to do what you do. And so, Lord, today as we look at this scripture, I pray that you speak to us. Above the words that I have to say, may your words sink into our hearts and in our minds. May it dominate our thoughts and change the way that we live. We need you. And so, Lord, we ask you to be here among us. Speak to us. Translate the silly things that I'm saying into your truth in our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read Matthew 5, verse 13. Are we NIVing it? I forgot to check. Should I read up there? I think we're good. Okay. Nearly infallible version. Perfect. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, They put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. God's word for us today. First thing I wonder when I look at this passage is, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Who is the you? Me. Good answer. You, sure. So is it you and me? Probably, sure. Yeah, that's how we kind of read the scriptures. That's good. Maybe it's all Christians everywhere at every time. Sure, yeah, that's probably adequate. That fits. But in this context, in this story, what's going on here? This is the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, and you guys have been going through a series, the Beatitudes, correct? Yeah. So, blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor in spirit, so on and so forth. You are those people. Okay, so he just finished saying, he went through all the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are persecuted, yours is the kingdom of heaven. All these, the meek, the poor in spirit, the persecuted, the... I got it all written down here, if I just stuck to my notes. Those looking for righteousness, those who are merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, the persecuted. These are the you. This is who Jesus is talking to. Okay? So that could be us as well. People like you and me, the broken, the meek, those who are struggling with life, eking our way through at times. But this is strange to me. Because it's kind of counter our world, the way our world thinks. It's counter-cultural. And Jesus, when he comes, he's trying to establish his kingdom. He's trying to do a paradigm shift. He's trying to change the way we see everything around us. Right? He in the Sermon on the Mount here, he starts going through the law and he's saying, you thought it was this, it's this. You think it's this, it's that. You think murder's bad? You say something bad to someone, you deserve to go to hell. I mean, he is just trying to change the way we think. He's bringing a new kingdom among us, right? That's what Jesus was all about in his ministry, is sharing what this kingdom is all about. And what he says here is that the meek, the poor in spirit, the downtrodden, the peacemakers... I mean, these are the broken people in society. Right? They're not the creme de la creme. They're not your first draft picks. Okay? I mean, what is a person that's poor in spirit? You guys did a sermon on this. Anybody? The discouraged. Right? People have been dealt a junky hand in life. Right? Who are the meek? I was just looking at a... You know, what exactly does the word meek mean? It's like easily influenced. That's a meek person. Someone who's easily influenced is usually taken advantage of in life. Right? I mean, we're talking about people who are struggling in life. And Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. Now, if I was trying to start a new kingdom in a new way, I'd try to get the best prospects. I'd try to get the best people to kind of shine and say, hey, this is what the kingdom's like. You should come. Check it out. And he just said, all of these people who are struggling through life. And who's struggling through life here? Be honest, people. All right, most of us. It's hard. Life's hard. We're all, that's why Jesus said this. The kingdom of heaven is ours. We're struggling. Why would Jesus make us the light of the world? You got to get the very best of the best. The salt of the earth. The people who have life figured out. Who aren't eking their way through. Why would Jesus do this? Why are we the light of the world? I don't want that responsibility. I mean, that's a huge expectation. when we look at this passage, there's something deeper going on, I believe. I think Jesus is trying to tell something about what the kingdom of heaven is like. And I want to kind of draw some attention to it. So let's talk about salt. Now, I've heard sermons on, you know, you are the salt of the world, and it is. And they're usually really good things, and people teach about it, and they say, you know, salt was such a valuable thing. I mean, people got paid in salt. They, you know, it was the start of civilizations. You were able to preserve food. You didn't have to do, like, just constantly fresh food every other couple of days. I mean, you were able to preserve. You could last winter. Civilization was built upon salt. And it was really important. Okay, sure. But let's just look at it at face value here. I mean, salt is a wonderful thing. I mean, you go to a movie. I mean, I like popcorn, but if you don't put any salt and butter, I mean, even butter is okay, but just the salt really brings that flavor out. It is good. It makes things delicious. Fantastic. Or chips and, you know, French fries. You don't put any salt. Not interested. Salt is just, it just makes things better. Now, my doctor and I are probably going to disagree on this. My arteries will probably disagree. But salt does just make things better. So when you say, when you look at salt, we are the salt of the earth. We make this world better. But how do we do that? Light of the world. How can these people, the meek, the poor in spirit, how do we become the light of the world? How do we become the light of the world? And this is kind of one of the mistakes I think we kind of get caught up in our religious little circles, in our little huddles, in our churches. I don't know if it stems back to imperialism when it was a white man's burden. We were going to take our civilization and just try to make the world better because we had it all figured out. And so we conquered the known world, Western civilization, tried to impose our ideas, our thoughts, our structures, and then people would buy into God because we would just show them how great God is. And so when we read this passage, we don't make that connection between those who are the meek, the poor in spirit. We immediately, I don't know why, we jump to us needing to be this perfect light that shows how great God is by how great we are. I don't think that's what Jesus is trying to say here. I don't think it's, we'll show how great we are by how big of our buildings we can build, by how great our structure and ideas, and how great our preachers and our pastors are and our leaders, and we are going to change the world because we are just better. That kind of thinking creeps in to the way, if people just did things the way Christians believe they should be done, then the world would be a better place. I mean, there's probably some truth to that, but I don't think that's what Jesus is saying here. He does say that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. What are the good deeds of a person who's poor in spirit? You don't have to answer. I'll answer it for you. Here's some examples. Who here has seen that movie or seen the play or the musical Les Miserables? Anybody? Powerful story. Am I right? If you haven't seen, I'm just going to tell you this kind of the start of the musical or the the movie I saw. What's that? It's a lot? No, I'm not. I saw the non-singing one. It was a lot more powerful for me. It starts off like this. Jean Valjean, the main character, he's in prison, and it's like his last day, and he kind of has a run-in with his prison guard. And anyways, he went to prison for stealing some bread to survive. He was hungry, and he just needed... He spent 5 years and then more years in prison because he beat someone up, yada, yada, yada. He finally gets free, and he starts traveling, and he lands in this small town, and the only person that will take him in is the minister, the pastor, the priest in town. And this wasn't by any means the big priest of a huge town. He was a poor pastor in, you know, Podunk, Alberta. Poor pastor, I'm just kidding. He takes this criminal in, gives him food. He says, "We don't have much to offer, but I can give you some wine." This was France, so wine was acceptable there. "I'll give you some bread," and he opens his home. They're an old couple. Just this guy is the salt of the earth. You could just tell. Kind. His wife's like, "What are you doing? This guy's a criminal." And he's just, "Here, more food. You need more." And in the middle of the night, he sees that they got candlesticks and silverware. In the middle of the night, he gets his bag and he steals their silver. And he runs off in the middle of the night and he gets captured the next day. And this is the most powerful scene. It's just life-changing. He gets captured, and the guys that captured him and said, "Minister, this guy, he stole from you, but he says you gave it to him." And you can see his wife, she's like, "Get him. Put him back in prison. He's a criminal." And this is what he says. And it just changes Jean Valjean's life. And I cry even just thinking about it. He says, "Of course I gave it to him, but you left so fast this morning you forgot to take the candlesticks." And he goes and grabs the two candlesticks, throws them in the bag. And he grabs him by the scruff and he says, "You're forgiven, you're released, go. I give you to God, you belong to God now." And from then on, the story of Jean Valjean is how he's trying to get rid of the past, but he becomes a man of God. And he lives for God. He adopts a poor orphan girl. He reaches out, he helps people, he runs a business, employs tons of people, pays them fairly, and he is successful in life. And the story goes on. This pastor, this minister, he was meek. He was humble. He even says, "We don't have much." He's not this famous orator, this famous person. He wasn't the greatest of the great. But it was his small action of grace and mercy that changed this man's life. It's the father and mother whose son died at the hands of a drunk driver, who can, through the power of Jesus, forgive that person and love them. Those are the good deeds of the poor in spirit that point to who God is. It's the person who at work is stepped on and trodden by their boss and treated like garbage that still goes to work every day through the power of the Holy Spirit and works unto the Lord. And someone says to that guy, "Why do you treat you so poorly? Why do you put up with it?" "I work for God. I don't work for this guy." Those are the good deeds that change the world. That someone goes, I need to have that. Whatever that guy has, how he can handle that, and has a smile on his face, I need some of that. It is not our greatness that shines people to God. As Paul says, it is our weakness. It is our limitations, our inability to do this thing called life and be perfect at it is what shows God to be great in us. This world does not need perfect pastors. It does not need perfect Christians. It does not need people who are these great, amazing individuals who have conquered life. They need broken people who say, I need Jesus. It is in that very concept, that the world will see who God is, that He is a kind, good Father. Sure, they need to see that God is the creator of the world, but they also need to see that He is the Savior of the world. They need to see that He is a powerful and mighty God, but they also need to see that He is a merciful and gracious God who loves us. They need to know that He's all-knowing, but they also need to know that He is intimate in our lives. And that He cares about the small things in our lives. And so, in this passage, when it says, you are the light of the world, you are the salt of the earth, it is not by us becoming the best Christians that we show that to the world. It's by us admitting that we are weak and desperate need of a Savior. It is then that He will be shown to be great. And people will want to be a part of that. They don't want to be a part of a bunch of people who think they're better than everybody else. They just don't. That's not light. That's not salt. That's just the world. That's worldly thinking. Heavenly thinking is, we don't have this figured out. We're in trouble. I'm going to tell you a personal story. Ever since I was a little boy, I wanted to be a pastor. My dad was a missionary. I wanted to be a pastor. That's what I was going to do. And currently, right now, I find myself not a pastor. I'm working construction. And the reason is because my marriage was in trouble. We were fighting all the time. My wife wanted to leave me. I said, I can't keep being a pastor. My wife felt like the church was my mistress. It was getting my best time, my best energy. And in some ways it was. I didn't know how to balance things. I was right out of Bible school, single pastor, got married. And I was just in the deep end going. I mean, coincidence, our biggest fights were Saturday night when I'm trying to wrap up my sermon. Where do you think that comes from? Every year we seem to get more broken. And at one point I just said, okay, Lord, you got to do something in us. Because this isn't sustainable. So I said, I quit. I said, God, you got to fix us. You got to mend the brokenness. You got to get us on the same page, loving each other again. And we're starting to get in that good place. And we are the best place we've ever been. God is faithful. He is good. He's a kind Father who, if you say, I need your help, He will help. I mean, that's a personal story, but I think all of us have those moments in our life where we think as Christians that I can't let anyone know because I'm a Christian and I have to show that I'm perfect or it will make God look bad. He's not threatened by you and you're not good enoughness. He doesn't care. In fact, He wants you to show it. Because then He can heal. We don't need this God who's just powerful and judging. No, He is a healer. He is a sanctifier. He's the coming King. Alliance doctrine there. Let's do it up. The time, the season of this like imperialistic thinking of like, we just got to show God to be great by how great we are is over, people. We're not going to be a light to a world by showing them that we're superior to them. We need to show that we're just as broken and there's a God that can help, that can heal, that can save. So stop hiding behind this, like, I got it all figured out. When I said, you know, we all got, three of you put your hands up. Kelly told me earlier, you guys are messed up. He never said that, I'm just kidding. We got marriages struggling. We got people probably on the brink of bankruptcy. We've got parents whose kids aren't following the Lord and they're rebellious. We got, I don't even know you. And I know this to be true. Stop hiding behind this falseness. Stop. I'm not saying go dump everything out here and confess everything to everyone. That's not going to get you anywhere. But today, in your heart, start to make that change to say, I'm a Christian, I'm loved by God, I have a kind, kind Father who loves me. I don't need to be perfect, He's perfect. I don't need to die on the cross, He did. I just need to accept it, and that is the light to the world. How to make that step in your mind and in your heart is the light and the salt that this world so desperately needs. So today, when you sit here and we read that passage, you think you're going to get beat up. Hey, Christian, step your game up. You are not nearly the bright enough light. You're not nearly salty enough. The saltiness and the light that Jesus, I believe, is saying here is just admit that you're not perfect. That you don't have to have it all figured out. Open yourself up to let Him in. He's the one that tops us up. It's not our works. And let Him heal you. Let Him work in your marriages, in your families, at your work, in your stuff that's going on, the stuff, the lies that the enemy is putting on you. Let Him heal you. Stop putting up the fight, because He can't if you keep admitting you got it all figured out to everybody. Let's pray. Our Father, You love us so much. We need You. Lord, I just pray that today we start to break down those walls that we've had between us and You, that we've been trying to do it on our own strength. This world doesn't need people doing it on their own strength. Lord, You want to shine through us. You are the sun, we are the moon. We reflect who You are. We don't need to shine like the sun. We just need to reflect who You are in our lives. Lord, for those of us in this room who are suffering, who are struggling, who are in difficulty, Lord, I just pray that You lay Your hands on them. Lord, that You touch them, that You heal them, that You hear the cries of their heart. Lord, allow them to open up to You. Allow for You to do what You do in our lives. Mend the hurts. Help us to forgive. Help us to love. Help us to be gracious. Give us those good deeds. Allow us through Your Holy Spirit to do the impossible. Lord, we love You and we thank You for this truth. Help it to sink into our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.